I'm joined by Rafif Georgiati, a spokeswoman for the grassroots organisation, the local coordination committees in Syria. Rafif, you've been trying to restructure the opposition. Can you give us a flavour of what's been happening?
Well, I believe that the Syrian National Council is presenting in the coming days a streamlined, functional organizational structure and perhaps even giving some indications of a transitional government to come.
And what role, if any, is the LCC playing in that?
Well, the LCC is a member of the Syrian National Council, so presumably we would be working with other members of the SNC to make sure we have a functional structure. But independent of the SNC, the local coordination committees in Syria undertakes its own activities in terms of activism, media, documentation of human rights violations and relief delivery across the country.
You had threatened to pull out of the Syrian National Council. How have they persuaded you to stay?
Well, we want to contribute to all efforts to bring about democracy to Syria, and so we recognize that the SNC is a major political player in the Syrian agenda. However, we were a bit distressed with some of the dysfunction of the SNC, and so I believe we're looking forward to a restructuring and perhaps the rendering of a more functional organization that can lead the way to a transition and a post-Assad Syria.
You've just been traveling in Turkey and Egypt. What's the attitude of among activists to the Brahimi's ceasefire proposal?
Well, the Brahimi ceasefire proposal is really dead on arrival. It is, to us, it's nothing more than, say, version 3 of the Annan plan. It is a sign that the United Nations wants to beat its head against the wall again and again and expect a different outcome. Assad has demonstrated through the Kofi Annan plans and before that the Arab League initiative that he has no intention of pulling back tanks or allowing unfettered access to media, or allowing peaceful protests to continue. And the evidence of that is his cover-ups during every UN observer mission. In one case, he even had the regime army paint their tanks blue to sort of pull the wool over the eyes of the observers. So a call for a ceasefire now that has no teeth, no consequences, and no real timetable is just a waste of time. The other thing is that Brahimi has requested a ceasefire during the Eid holidays, and so that implies that it's okay to kill up until the holidays begin, and it implies that post-holiday there's no restriction on killing.
Has the LCC said that to Brahimi in so many words?
We have tried to communicate with him on numerous occasions. I very specifically, in a meeting with him, tried to relay the voice of activists on the ground, and he immediately dismissed me and, in fact, lost his temper with me. He did not want to hear bad news from activists on the ground, and I felt that as an allegedly neutral party and one who should be a negotiator, he had an obligation to listen to what the people on the streets are saying, and he flatly refused.
When was that?
This was a few weeks ago, around the Friends of Syria meeting in New York.
And have you had any contact with him since?
No, I have not.
What about the LCC?
I was there in the capacity of the LCC, and a group of opposition activists from the ground, from the grassroots movement, were there to discuss the plan with him and see what message we could deliver to the people we do represent. And unfortunately, he seemed to have no desire to give us specifics.
Are you open to discussions with him in the future?
You know, as an individual, as a member of the LCC, as a member of the human community, of course we should always pursue discussions and dialogue, but we have to lead to concrete results. We can't come out with soft plans that do not address the fact that there is something approaching genocide taking place in Syria. We cannot discuss in diplomatic or political terms any sort of a solution that does not include the removal of Bashar al-Assad and his regime apparatus.
In last night's presidential election debate, both Romney and Obama expressed resistance to this intervention. What did you make of the debate?
Well, the debate itself was an interesting session in that both candidates focused very little on foreign policy and chose to revert to domestic economic issues when it got a little bit difficult. Now, I don't believe any of the opposition have ever called for American boots on the ground. American or other nationalities. Many in the armed opposition have called for a no-fly zone or to weaponize the Free Syrian Army so that there is some sort of balance of power. As it is, the international community has refused to arm the Free Syrian Army, and therefore the balance of power is either going to remain as it is, with the Free Syrian Army being much weaker because they don't have air power, or the Free Syrian Army will continue to make advances as it has been over the past few months, and it will become a matter of Syrians liberating their own country. If Romney were to be elected, I would not expect him to conduct airstrikes against Syria. I believe these are just campaign rhetoric.
Were you hoping for more from the debate in terms of support for rebel groups in Syria?
I actually was not expecting much by way of arming the rebels, and I was expecting the narrative of continued support for the armed, unarmed opposition. I was expecting language surrounding capacity building, developing civil society. So there wasn't anything that was surprising for me.
While you were in Turkey and Egypt, you took part in this Day After project. Can you describe a bit more about what that's about?
Yes, so the Day After project really is the outcome of approximately 1 year of Syrian activists, politicians, academics, and others gathering on an almost monthly basis to develop a series of recommendations that we would present to any Syrian transitional government. We've treated six subjects: the rule of law, security sector reform, transitional justice, constitutional design, electoral systems, and economic restructuring and social policy. And within each of these six subjects, we've made these recommendations on how best to transition and what priorities we believe should be addressed immediately. Now, what we have presented is essentially a living document that is going to be updated as we receive feedback from Syrians inside Syria and abroad, and of course, members of the international community and really anybody who wants to weigh in on it. It'll be continually revised and provided to the transitional government, and that transitional government will have the option of adopting some, all, or none of the recommendations.
You mentioned transitional justice. What success, if any, are you having in persuading the rebels to sign up to some form of human rights charter?
Well, the local coordination committees, independently of the Day After project, has been working with the Free Syrian Army to have them sign a code of conduct. And we've been quite successful in that when we started, we had 12 battalions signing it, and today we have over 40. And so it's a continuous process of dialogue and education about what human rights actually mean, what the Geneva Conventions actually mean. In a repressive government, particularly after four decades of Assad rule, there really is no such thing as human rights in Syria. And so the defected soldiers who belong to the Free Syrian Army have the same level of education as the regular regime soldiers. So it's a process of educating, it's a process of engaging in dialogue and showing them that there is a way to win this and be better than the Assad regime.
Do you remain concerned about human rights abuses by rebels?
We are concerned about human rights abuses on all levels. And so if members of the Free Syrian Army are committing atrocities, of course, they need to be held accountable. They need to be educated in terms of human rights and specifically how not to violate them. But in general, we are looking to transition into a state that respects human rights, that respects international laws, and so it begins with us.
Okay, Rafi, thank you very much for your time. Thanks.
Thank you.